Well, we're going to kind of recap the message I shared with you a couple of weeks ago when I shared from the Word of God. It was called The God Who Really Cares. The God Who Really Cares. And you might be wondering today, you might have thought in the past, is there a God out there that knows that I exist? And friend, I'm here to tell you today, yes, there is a God out there, Yahweh, Creator of heaven and earth. You know, you look at the beauty of creation, the trees turning different colors, and you look at the grass and the blue sky, and you look at the sun and the stars, and you look at God's creation, and you've got to conclude that behind that creation there is a Creator. You look at the beauty of the human body, the complexity of the human body, and you've got to know that behind that creation there is a Creator. God does exist, and the good news is that He knows that you exist. And every little thing that concerns you concerns the heart of God. And you might think today, well, you know what? With the billions of people in this world that God is thinking about, is He able to keep track of all the issues in my life? And friend, I'm here to tell you today, yes, God is able to keep track of every single issue in your life, from the very biggest to the smallest. You may have been diagnosed with maybe with a life-threatening illness, or maybe you lost a job, maybe you lost a career, maybe you lost something that was dear to you. And it's something big in your life. Guess what? God knows about it. You are on the mind of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And God also knows about the little things, the little details of your life that concern you. It might be $5 for the next meal. It's concerning you. God knows about it. He'll meet the need. It may be $2 that you need for a bus fare. God knows about it. He will meet your need. God is concerned about every big thing as well as every small thing in your life. The very hairs on your head are numbered by God. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 30. And then we spoke the last time I was here a little bit on Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, where Jesus was talking in the Sermon on the Mount, and He was telling the people not to worry. He was telling us not to worry. He said, don't worry about food, what you're going to drink, what clothing you're going to wear. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Worrying will not do you any good. And so what God is requiring of us is faith. You know, if you have faith that God is thinking about you, God in His unique way will meet your need. What is faith? Faith is simple trust and reliance upon God, knowing that God has got the entire of your life under His control. Your entire life is in the palm of God's hands. And you know, God honors faith. When you believe that God will do what His Word says He can do, that He can provide for you, He will honor that and He will do a miracle in your life. Amen? Amen. And so today we're going to transition. We're going to talk about your best friend. It's called your best friend. I want you to think back for the next few minutes to when you were young, real young, 5 or 6 years old. In kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and you met that person. Maybe a little boy or a little girl that you became really good friends with. And over the years you became close, and that friendship carried over into junior high school, maybe carried over into high school, and you were really tight with this person. You were bosom buddies. Maybe it was a cousin or a family member. But as time has gone by, maybe that person has passed away. Friend, maybe you have lost contact with this really good friend in your life. Maybe you lost their phone number, you moved to different cities, you're just not in contact with this person anymore. Maybe this person deserted you, maybe they turned their back on you. And now, so as we approach the holidays, these next 2 months, you're concerned about being lonely. Will I be lonely during Thanksgiving and Christmas? And maybe last holidays of 2008, maybe it was lonely for you. And maybe you fear the same thing today, that Thanksgiving of this year and Christmas of this year is going to be lonely for you. You don't really have a person in your life that you can call a really good friend or a best friend. And you know, in my own life, there was this guy who, about 8 or 9 years ago, I met, and we developed a friendship, and he would call me sometimes 2 times a day. And was really pouring into my life. He was mentoring me, and I asked him a question one time, and he said, Jonathan, I'll never forsake you. I ain't going to turn my back on you. And, you know, the years have gone by, and you know, he's real busy himself, and we talk about once or twice a year now. That goes to show you that people are imperfect, right? Everybody messes up. I heard somebody say this one time. that some people are in your life for a reason. Some people are in your life for a season. And some people are in your life for a lifetime. And so some of you are maybe struggling with those lifetime friends today, thinking, man, I don't have a lifetime friend, a really good friend, and I feel so alone. But the good news is that God wants to be your closest friend. Do you agree with that? Amen. Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth, wants to be your best friend. It says in the Word of God in Hebrews 13:5 that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I want to go back to the Garden of Eden. How many remember the Garden of Eden? Genesis chapter 2. Remember reading about it. Genesis chapter 2. All right. God put man in the garden, right? And He said to Adam, Adam, I'm putting many trees in this garden. You can eat of any tree in the garden, but the tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will what? You will surely die, right? So the serpent comes to the woman in Genesis chapter 3 and says to her, you're not going to surely die. God knows that when you eat of that fruit, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So the woman saw that the food of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom, so she ate it. And then what did she do? She gave some to Adam, right? And at that point, sin entered the world. Sin entered the world. And man was banished, forcefully dismissed, from the Garden of Eden, right? Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. And when sin entered the world, what is sin? Right. Remember, they ate of the fruit, and then they were dismissed from the garden. They were separated from God. And that's what sin does. It separates us from God. When we disobey God's laws, we sin against God, we are separated from God. And that sin nature was passed on from generation to generation. But I want to kind of look at one thing here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Let's go to Genesis 3, verse 8. And it says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So what does this indicate to you? God walked about in the garden in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. Kind of indicates to me that it's possible that this was a practice of God to fellowship and have friendship with Adam and Eve. He would talk with them as one friend talks to another. He was with them in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. Right? Would you agree? But that fellowship, that friendship with God was lost as a result of what? We just talked about sin, right? Their disobedience to God's command not to eat of the fruit of the one tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? So they were separated from God. So Adam and Eve lost friendship and fellowship with God. But here's the good news. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the last Adam, came to this earth as a baby. And at 33 years old, He went to the cross and He got back what was lost through the sin of Adam and Eve. What did the last Adam, Jesus Christ, gain back for you and me? What did He get back for us? That's good. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. The last Adam, Jesus Christ. Verses 10 and 11. Romans 5, verses 10 and 11. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I'll say it again. What did the first Adam lose with God? Fellowship and friendship, right? They were banished from the Garden of Eden. What did the last Adam, Jesus Christ, gain back for you and for me? Fellowship and friendship with God. Amen? So friend, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, God is your best friend. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. My question to you today is this. What is your Garden of Eden? Is it your house? Your job? The school that you go to? Whatever your Garden of Eden happens to be, God wants to walk with you in your Garden of Eden. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to have intimate, close friendship with you. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God came to dwell on the inside of you. So God is always with you. And maybe some of you here today have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Or maybe some of you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, but maybe you slipped away from Christ. And if you've never accepted Christ or you backslid from Christ, guess what? You're kind of, in a sense, living in rebellion towards God. But later on, at the end of the service, you'll have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ or recommit your life back to Jesus so that you could have that friendship with God, because He is a friend that will never, ever leave you. Amen? You might be thinking today, Jonathan, this God that you're telling me is so close to me sometimes feels so far away. It feels like He's up there in the heavens somewhere, light years away. Has anybody ever felt that way before? That this God who wants to be your best friend sometimes feels like He's so far away. You know, I felt like that back in 2006. I was going through some severe depression, and maybe some of you have heard this story before. It was late July, August, September of 2006, and I was really struggling with this. I was like, man, God, I know that You're my Savior, Jesus, but God, You feel like, it feels like You're so far away from me. Out there somewhere, I was going through depression, I was in a low spot, I was in sorrow, and it felt like God was way out there somewhere. And you might have felt like that yourself in the past. You might be feeling like that today, but friend, don't get it wrong. God is still with you through His Holy Spirit. Do you agree with that today? I want to read you an encouraging poem. It's pretty famous. Some of you may have heard it, but it bears repeating for this message. It's called Footprints in the Sand. How many have heard of this? All right, let me read it. One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, other times there were only one. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed You, You would always walk with me. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there has been only one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed You most, have You not been there for me?" The Lord replied, "The years when you have seen only one set of footprints, my child, is when I carried you." Is when I carried you. Here's another rendition of it, also known as I Had a Dream. One night I dreamed a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and the one to my Lord. When the last scene of my life shot before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. There was only one set of footprints. I realized that this was at the lowest and saddest times of my life. This always bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about my dilemma. Lord, You told me when I decided to follow You, You would walk and talk with me all the way. But I'm aware that during the most troublesome times of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I just don't understand why, when I need You most, You leave me. He whispered, "My precious child, I love You and will never leave you, never ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Friend, it may be the same in your life. When you've seen only one set of footprints in the sands of your life, it was then that God was carrying you in the palms of His hands. You might be going through a tough time right now. You may be down low, in anguish, in sorrow, in need, in suffering, in sickness. But it's in these times that God is carrying you. You are in the palm of God's hands. Amen? You know, it takes faith to believe that God exists with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You might be thinking today, man, I just sometimes want to see a God with flesh and bone on. I'd like to see him right there beside me. But friend, it takes faith to believe that he's always with you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What pleases God? According to Hebrews 11:6, it's faith. For without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that God what? Is or exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He who comes to God must believe that God exists. Friend, you need to know that you know that you know deep down on the inside that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, God exists with you. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, God is right there with you. He will be your friend during this time in your life. He will be your closest friend during the holidays that are coming up. Others may have forsaken you in the past. God never will. Amen? Amen? Remember this. When you ever doubt that God is close to you, remember this. That every breath you take, God is giving it to you. I'll say it again. That every single breath you take, God is giving you every single breath that you take. When you wake up in the morning and you see the things around you, you look at yourself in the mirror, you see the breakfast in front of you, you see the people around you. Guess what? Remember this. It is God giving you that every ability to see physically the things around you. Remember this. Whenever you open your mouth to speak and words come out, it is God giving you the ability for those words to come out. So when you ever doubt that God is right beside you, remember that. That every breath you take, every second of the day, God is giving you those breaths. He is right there with you. Amen? Amen. Several years ago, back in 06, I went to Toronto, Canada. Here's a story. And a friend of mine was wanting to go to this church conference in Toronto, Canada. And he kind of convinced me and another mutual friend to go. And this other mutual friend is not really the most spiritual of people. So we ended up going to Toronto, Canada, to this conference. And this conference was a little much for me. It was a lot of emotionalism and so forth and so on. But on the Friday of that week, we had planned to go to the Niagara Falls. And so, anyway, we went to the conference, and my friend, who was not the most spiritual, said, "Jonathan, man, I just want to go back home." And I'm like, "Dude, come on, we flew all the way out here. I got your tickets. You need to stay till the end of the week." And so, you know, people were at this conference trying to find God, right? So at the end of the week, we ended up going to the Niagara Falls. Anybody ever been to the Niagara Falls in Toronto, Canada? It's an awesome sight. It was a beautiful sunny day, blue sky. And I mean, you can see the white foam of water just coming over the cliff, just whoosh, bright, bright white. And we were all kind of in like a little boat. Kind of, they were bringing us towards the Niagara Falls. And we're just looking at these Niagara Falls. You look straight into it, man. It's so white. It's blinding. It's awesome to see it. And, you know, my friend, who's not the most spiritual, made a very spiritual comment. This is what he said. You know, people came here this week to try to find God at the conference. We came here this week to try to find God at the conference. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, but I look at these Niagara Falls straight ahead, and he said this. He said, "There's God. There he is. God is so clearly seen in nature." Isn't that amazing? Whenever you doubt the existence of God real close to you, just look at nature all around you. It will tell you, there's God. God is right there, seen in his creation. Amen? It's good news, isn't it? God wants to be your best friend. And remember, he's always with you by his Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 15, "I no longer call you servants, but I now call you friends." And this God, who is your closest friend, wants to talk with you just like you talk to another human being. Do you have concerns in your life? Do you have things in your life that are really bothering you right now? On your mind? Concerning you? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. See what the Word of God says. Verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So if you've got an acquaintance here at John 3:16, somebody you hang around with, you need to talk, what do? You sit with this person and you do what? You have a conversation, right? You share what's on your heart, and then that person responds back, right? You have a conversation with this other human being. Well, guess what? God wants to have conversation with you. And He's always listening. Share with God what is on your heart. And I guarantee you that God is listening and God will respond back to you. He wants to be your best friend, your closest friend. Talk to Him. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. In other words, have your life in open communication with God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I was talking this morning at my cell group, and basically, whatever little thing concerns you, present it to God. We were talking about these guys work on cars and buses and stuff for the church. And part of prayer is this. I said, guys, listen, you know, you may have a hard time pulling a piece off, you know, a piece of the engine off one of the buses or one of the trucks. So just, you know, present it to God and say, God, I don't know how to do this. And God will give you His wisdom in response to your prayer. And it's happened to me so many times on my job sites. We work on people's homes here in Tulsa. And Brett knows us. And, you know, sometimes we'll lose an item or we'll lose a tool. I'll be like, man, I just can't find it. This has happened to me many times in the past. I'm like, God, I don't know where it is. Could you help me find it? And boom, it just pops up. That's prayer, friends. That's communicating with God like you talk with your best friend. Amen? If He can do it for me, He can do it for you. And for you, it might be a $2 bus fare. God, I need $2. I need $4 for two bus fares. Just present it to God. And God will speak back to you. He'll respond through somebody else. Amen? He'll respond with that still, small voice. He wants to talk with you. He wants to communicate every day with you. Amen? All right, well, just want to let you know, if you don't have somebody on this earth that you can call a best friend, you can call God your best friend. He's always there with you. He will never leave you, never forsake you.